I have been associated with the UN since 1952. And in those days, of course, it was in the aftermath of the Second World War, and the UN was the most important measure set up to ensure that there was never again such a catastrophe. I was lucky to be young then and to be involved in the very early days of the organizations when there was much euphoria. And of course, I worked then for the UN for over half a century in many different areas, including development, disaster relief, peacekeeping, peace building, and so on. And it was very much a privilege. But the UN is not held in the regard it should be at a time when the UN is needed more than ever. And the UN somehow has to be able to make itself better known to the world in general.
And do you think it can do that? I'm sorry to interrupt, but do you think it can do that with the Sustainable Development Goals?
Well, they are very important because although there are all sorts of political reasons for conflict, most of the time it is sparked off because there are people who are marginalized, who are poor, who don't have enough to live on. So the reduction of poverty is absolutely essential. I think that the original MDGs did quite a lot, and we have to hope that these will do better. But the point I want to make, everyone talks about the UN as if it was an entity that could do things on its own. The UN is a committee of nations, and the burden of responsibility lies with the member states. And unfortunately, many of the member states do not want to live up to their obligations and provide the United Nations with the resources and with the political support that it needs everywhere.
Now, you've talked about that before, haven't you, when particularly in Angola, where you were leading a peacekeeping operation there ahead of elections, and you mentioned that a lack of resources in particular made your work incredibly difficult, and lack of political will perhaps as well. And do you not think that we're seeing the same kind of problems with many of the conflicts around the world, in particular Syria?
Well, absolutely. In Angola, it was ridiculous. I had 350 unarmed military observers and 100-plus police observers for a conflict that involved a huge country and 200,000 armed combatants. And it was just regarded then that Angola wasn't important. Bosnia, Yugoslavia, former Yugoslavia were more important. Now it's exactly the same with Syria.
There was a sort of seismic shift, wasn't there? The end of the Cold War signalled the end of interest in Angola, which had huge power interests on both sides of the Atlantic. So in terms of seismic shifts now, would it be fair to say that the UN has to, and member states have to, face up to the threat of extremism? Would you categorise the main threat now to global peace not being the Cold War, but in fact extremists and violent extremists?
Well, absolutely. It's the dissatisfaction with governments and politics all over the world. And I hope we don't have to have another really global conflict to bring people to their governments, to their senses, and realise that we have to pull together. I think a lot will depend, too, on who is the next Secretary General. It's very important that that should be somebody who has clout, and that clout should be recognised by countries. I would be delighted if it was a woman, but it must be somebody outstanding. And it's very important, I think, that we've changed the method of selection, but we should also curtail the length. There should only be one period, so that the Secretary General is not restricted by having to count out a government in order to get enough votes for a second term. It should be a longer term, maybe 7 years instead of five. But then when you're Secretary General, your record goes down to history on what you managed to achieve and not by how many years you served.
And final question to you, Dame Margaret, if you don't mind. There are lots and lots of people who look up to you as a pioneering woman at the UN. What would you say to those coming up through the system? And let's just remind people that you started, as you describe yourself, a humble staff worker in the Philippines.
When I'm asked, you know, what was that, what do I think was my strength? And I think it was stamina. And you have to work extremely hard. You have to be devoted to the ideal of the UN and take on risks. By risk, I don't only mean physical risks, but the risk of failure, you know, which can daunt some women. They so often say, I can't do that. And they don't know what they can do. And I say, well, it's like a swimming pool. You don't know if you can swim until you leap in at the, and I was pushed in at the deep end. And, you know, you can then find out what your true qualities are. But it is something to which you have to dedicate your life.
Okay, I think you've certainly proved that, Dame Margaret.
Thank you. I'm still rooting whenever I can for the UN. And I would like everybody to do that, not only the people who work for it, but the general public. They should realise that now we have all this, which I deplore, this terrible decision over the UK leaving the European Union. And we should really be supporting all these collective efforts to bring the world together and to maintain security and sustainable peace.